This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the first Sky Blues Extra podcast of the 2021-2022 season, which once again is sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by a trio. We've got Dave.
Evening.
Evening, mate. Dino.
Chaps, all right.
And we've also got Andy.
Evening, mate.
Evening, lads. It's great to be back, chaps, and thanks again for joining me. Pre-season is nearly over. The signings are mostly all through the door, and we're just a few days away from our first championship game back in Coventry for nearly 10 years. So this evening, we'll be providing a comprehensive review of the season ahead. We'll be looking at everything from pre-season, the kits, the transfers. We'll look at through to the first six games. We'll be talking about formations and much, much more. So Andy, I'll kick off with you. First of all, how pleased are you that not only will we be able to watch the Sky Blues in person this season, but we'll also be doing that in our home city?
Yeah, absolutely buzzing, Tom, for that. Obviously, I couldn't make it against Wolves on Sunday, but it was great just to look at everyone's photos on the Twitter feed. Everyone's buzzing to be back in Cov, and it's just great to be back at the stadium. And after we finish the season, I think fairly strong. Towards the end of last season, I'm really looking forward to this season, and I think with the signings we've made, we've got plenty of joy ahead. I think it's going to be a good season, Tom.
Yeah, definitely, and we'll obviously get into those signings in a bit more of the detail later on. But Dave, it's going to be great to see fans back, isn't it? How special is that opening day going to be on Sunday?
Yeah, take me home, CBS Arena.
Doesn't quite fit, does it? No, it doesn't.
But no,
need to work on that one, mate.
Ross would make it work somehow.
Yeah, he would. But no, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Made up for the fans, you know, for it to be back in Coventry. I think we touched on the pod last time about how good it's going to be commercially for a lot of the business around Coventry, but also for the football club itself. They're going to get a lot more people through the door than they would have at Birmingham. And from what we understand, it's a better commercial agreement for the club back at the Ricoh. So I mean, that's going to be absolutely, you know, key for going forward. But yeah, for the fans especially, you know, that it's so much better. How grim was it going on the train and walking, going past Coventry on the way to Birmingham? So
yeah,
fantastic. Everyone deserves it. And we just now need to make sure we continue where possible the numbers and get behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. Dean, plenty to be positive about. I think one of the things that's probably had mixed opinions in pre-season has been the kit. Obviously, we've only seen the home kit so far, to the annoyance of quite a few fans on Twitter. But yeah, what have you made of the kit that came out a couple of weeks ago, Dean?
I think a lot of people said last season was very negative on the whole. So I'm going to start off by, you know, a leopard never changes spots. I'm not a massive fan of it, if I'm particularly honest. So I don't particularly like the design. I think if you're going to have the Phoenix on there, it needs to be more prominent. And I understand there's certain parameters that you can't have. It needs to be like bold or whatever. I don't know what they are, but for me, it just looks a little bit tacky. I don't know. Does it look like sweat marks to some people? And one person said it looks like a bra at the top half. And I think once you've seen that, you can't really get that out of your mind, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm not a particular fan. I think it's probably the worst of the three that Hummel have produced for us. You know, they set the bar extremely high over the last couple of years. So I'll let them off with one. But there are two things I do like. I like the two-tone on the bottom of the sleeve.
Mm.
That's quite nice.
Bit of 90s touch to it.
Yeah, and a bit of nod to the heritage of two-tone, obviously, as well. And I quite like the round neck collar. But that's just a kind of a personal thing because I like to wear my shirt over another t-shirt hoodie. So I think it will fit better. I'm hoping that the away shirt's going to be something I can purchase.
I think with the home shirt, my view on it, I think we've had kits before that have been very plain and like templates. And I think if you're going to have a pattern on it, at least it's a meaningful pattern, I suppose. That's the one thing you can say for it compared to some of the plain Nike ones we've had in the past.
Oh yeah, we've had some absolute rubbish shopping bags and the like, but I just don't like how the design is fitted in with a shirt. It just needs to be more prominent for me.
They've just set that bar too high, haven't they? Almost like they've just year after year smashed it out of the park. But look, I'm not either or, but I think they've just Hummel have made so many.
Yeah,
nice
you're
kits
right. Dave.
That everyone expects it, don't they?
I think if that had come out after a run of like Nike and Puma kits, everyone would be raving about it. But like you say, the bar's been set so high now, it's difficult, isn't it, for them?
Obviously, rumours of the pink and blue Singers stripe for the away kit has certainly got my attention. And the potential third kit, I've heard some rumours that might be throwing it back to the sort of purple and yellow pony days, which would be amazing. I've probably seen Tom on the lives last year. With his purple top, and yeah, got a bit of inspiration from that. But one good thing is the training kit is really nice, isn't it? That's really, really nice and smart.
Yeah,
and interesting. The zip tops are great.
At the game on Sunday against Wolves, saw a lot of people in the training kit actually, even more than the shirt perhaps. So yeah, no, the training kit's gone down really well. But we look forward to seeing the rest of the kits as they get released over the next few weeks. So chaps, let's talk about pre-season. Obviously, you know, pre-season's about fitness, isn't it? Mostly, and it's about getting players up to speed, but probably hasn't, you know, yielded the best of results, has it, Dave, really?
No, but it's been a funny pre-season. I mean, last year was, and ultimately that was pretty awful, wasn't it, really? I can't remember feeling that inspired by last pre-season. But I think, you know, with COVID and stuff, it's caused issues again this season with teams having to be split up or not being able to play and players not being able to travel and train. And so we've heard a lot of, you know, those issues that have happened, but you know, they got away to Spain, didn't they? Got a bit of sun, bit of vitamin D, a few Sambucas, I expect, but no, that looked like a really, really good training camp from all of the, you know, the content you saw from the club. And ultimately, you know, they had a real good test against Seville and you know, I think people came out of, I think people have come out of all of the games with something positive. And again, the results, like we say, just don't really matter. I think it's totally different when they line up against Forest this weekend. That all goes out of the window. It's more about fitness. And it does seem like, you know, we've had a better pre-season than we would have had last year. And of course, you know, we were fine last year. Fitness looked fine throughout the season. So I don't see any issues there at all.
Yeah, and there were some positives to take from it. Obviously, getting vital minutes into players like Jody Jones, for example, who is another player who could feature this season. He's someone who could be a really good option off the bench this year, Dean.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's important, I feel like, to not get carried away with Jody. I think we need to sort of give him some time to settle back into, you know, competitive football, especially at a higher level than, you know, he's ever experienced in his career. And we know from experience last season, we had lots of players who really struggled in this league. And, you know, they didn't spend the last three calendar years on the sideline. So it's going to be tough for Jody. But, you know, he does have talent. There's potential there. He's still young. I had no issues with offering him a contract. and it'll be, you know, exciting to see him, how he plays this season. I suspect he might go out on loan at some point. But, you know, if we can get him into the fold at first team level, I think he could be, you know, a decent asset.
Yeah. And as Dave said, you know, there's some encouraging performances during pre-season, and the Wolves game was probably the most encouraging of those, Andy. And one of the highlights was Ben Chief's performance, who, you know, as a player, had his fair share of criticism last season.
Yeah, he was outstanding on Sunday. Looked like a Premier League player, didn't he, against Wolves? He was outstanding. It seemed to suit him. I thought last season he started well. He got our Player of the Month, if you remember right, at the start of the season. Yeah. But then I think he made a couple of mistakes when he was dwelling on the ball that seemed to knock his confidence. And obviously when Matty James came in, he seemed to not feature very often. But obviously with James not re-signing, there's an opportunity there now for Sheaf. And I think now he's been bought and he's our player, I think he can settle down and become a top player for us. And if he plays week in, week out, he can get in his groove. And as long as he just moves the ball a bit more quicker than he used to, and that would be must, because he was caught dwelling on the ball a couple of times, Tom, last season. And but he's got bags of ability, he's young, and there's a player inside Ben Chief. So I think he's one to watch out for this season.
Yeah, could be a real key player in that midfield.
Definitely.
One of the concerns from yesterday was obviously Bright didn't feature or was supposed to be on the bench and wasn't there supposedly. And obviously we've heard a few conflicting stories today, but I suppose, Dean, we just got to hope it's not him up to his old tricks and there was a sort of real reason for him not to be there.
Yeah, I think there's some murmurs, you know, about family issues and potential close COVID contact too. So, but obviously we don't know the actual full extent of the story, so we shouldn't go into it too much. But look, we know about his past. You know, I think really we need to give the guy a little bit of a break, you know, at this stage. You know, he's been back in the UK for what, 3 weeks since that stint in India. He's got a young family. He was away from the squad for a decent chunk of time as well, training with the under 23s. A lot of players he won't be playing with week in, week out as well. So I think for the Bright situation, let's just see how it progresses. You know, I trust Mark Robbins to make the call. I don't think he would have been brought back into the fold if he thought he would disrupt the sort of atmosphere that we've built over the last 2 to 3 years. So let's just give the guy a break and just see how it pans out, to be honest.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to discuss the summer transfer business from the Sky Blues. Obviously, in our season review, we discussed the players leaving the club. Notable departures were Biamu, Baka, McCallum, James and Ostergaard. Obviously, some of those being loan players who were returning to their parent clubs. Andy, were you disappointed that we weren't able to come to an agreement with Matty James, first of all?
Yeah, I was, Tom. I thought he was absolutely brilliant last season, JMO. I thought he came in and did an absolutely superb job. When him and Kelly played together, they looked a real dominant force in the Championship. But someone's loss is someone's opportunity, isn't it, Tom? And this gives Ben Chief a superb opportunity to really establish himself in that centre midfield now. Mm. And also, you know, Chief is a younger option. JMO's not getting any younger, is he? So, you know, perhaps Robbins thinks it's not too much of a loss and we can put a faith in Ben Chief this season.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with the wages, isn't it? The wage demands in the Championship.
Yeah, massive. You know, we can't. It's simple as that, isn't it? Bristol City have got cash to spend. They've got more money on wages than us, and our budget's very small, isn't it? But, you know, like I say, someone else's loss is someone else's gain. And I think Ben Chief, as long as he, you know, plays to his potential, I think he'll be great this season, Tom.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, with those, you know, Ostergaard, McCallum and James having such good seasons last year as loan players, Dave, it does make it tricky for Mark Robbins to go out and replace those players, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, we've heard that Robbins has probably been waiting perhaps on Ostergaard. It seems like wasn't
is
really
the long-term target.
I think he would have been hoping that if he wasn't going to be getting into the Brighton fold, that we'd be first choice. And of course, I'm sure conversations were happening, but he didn't really know what was happening with the parent club. But I think that, you know, I think it's quite obvious that Robbins would have wanted him, you know, back at the club if he could have on loan or if he could afford, you know, to get him in full time. But I'm not sure that, you know, that's not something that can come to fruition now. It's a real shame because I think he's a really big loss because he's very hard to replace. I think out of the three, Matty James for me is the hardest to replace, especially now with Kelly injured going into the season. We've not got that sort of experienced older head in the middle of the park that I think just had a calming influence. And Andy mentioned earlier that, you know, Sheaf, when he played, he wasn't in the fold when Kelly and Jamo were back. But when, you know, Kelly perhaps wasn't and James was there and Sheaf played alongside him, I think he looked a bit more assured having that older head next to him. But look, we've heard great things from the Wolves game and let's hope he kicks on. A season anyway in the Championship is going to put him in really good stead. I mean, before that, he hadn't had that, you know, as much experience. He had a little bit, didn't he, I think, at Doncaster perhaps.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a load. And last season, you know, he would have come of age a bit more and understand what's made of him. I think Robbins has done what he can, as much as he can. A lot of the targets, like we know, will have been highlighted a lot way before this season ended, probably. But I think he's, you know, he's had his work cut out, but I think we're going to go on to speak about it, but he's done some good business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's for the lack of trying. I don't think we need to, we shouldn't forget that we, you know, we put offers in for certain players and, yeah, you know, other teams have outbid us. And that's just the position and predicament we're in. We're not going into a season like he hasn't tried to replace these players.
No,
he definitely has. But we just, in the position we are in as a club, we just can't afford to do it. And I don't think we should break the bank.
It's a very difficult position to be in because we're not big, you know, we've only just come up from League One. Okay, 16th. I think some players may look at that potentially and think, is it a bit flattering? Would still probably be thinking that there would be around the bottom this season. So you can only attract a certain type of player, can't you? You know,
but then there's also the wages, isn't it, Dave?
Because
whatever position you finish in, you know, we had came up from League One, a season without any fans. Even if we did have fans, we'd have been at St Andrews. So we didn't have any. Like the wage budget wasn't, I mean, I'm surprised fourth lowest now. We're creeping our way up, and even that's impressive, really.
Of course, but that's what makes it so impressive. The fact that because if the club starts to bend over backwards and the checkbook does come out and it doesn't go right and things go wrong, we know how that ends up. We've seen it. Unfortunately, so you've got to say that you know they're sticking to their guns, but they've got to, because slowly but surely that bank will continue, and if you can stick around for a couple of years, it would look a lot more rosier.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you've got to keep that in the back of your mind.
Well, if we had,
as sad as it is, you know, talking about finances of football fans, it's just money makes the world go round, and unfortunately makes the EFL league go round, and that's where we are.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a season of 20,000 crowds at the CBS, you know, 10,000 season tickets and 10,000 on the gate each week, that's certainly going to help the situation, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, no, exactly. 100%. And that's why it's been so important. And that's why it's so good to hear, you know, that the commercial agreement is quite beneficial to the club, because I think, you know, next, you know, on from this season, we'll be in an even much stronger position.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go on and talk about the transfers one by one. So the first man who we talked about a bit tonight already is Ben Sheaf, came through the door. Undisclosed fee from Arsenal. Obviously, he was on loan at the Sky Blues last season. We believe it's been in the region of 750K. It was an obligation to buy, whatever that means. Weren't quite sure of the details. But Mark Robbins' comments, he said he showed great potential at Arsenal, which prompted us to sign him last season, and he reaffirmed that during his loan spell. We're delighted to add him to our squad on a permanent basis, and we look forward to working with him. So, Dean, as far as we know, as I said, it was an obligation to buy, but were you pleased to see Sheaf come through on a permanent deal?
Yeah, I think I am, actually. I think he showed real glimpses of, you know, brilliance last year. But just as alluded to earlier on, just not enough consistency. And I think he came under some uncalled for slack last year too. You know, we had tough periods as a team, never mind just Ben Sheaf. And we were maybe too reliant on him at times to perform. I think lots saw that he came from Arsenal and probably expect a little bit too much. But don't forget, he was on loan in League One the year before that. You know, the same levels most of our team have played at. And, you know, I think people are quick to forget that. Certain players in our squad didn't really grasp the level of the Championship either. You know, the likes of Shipley and Allen when they came up. So I think a year of experience in the Championship would have done him the world of good. That's great experience. He knows what to expect now. He would have learned a lot from seeing Matty James and Liam Kelly last year too. And as you know, as we alluded to earlier on, there will be expectation this year, especially with Kelly missing. But there's a player there. Absolutely, there's a player there. And I think we'll start to see the best of him this season and potentially have a real asset on our hands.
Yeah. What do you think he'll offer us, Dean, in that midfield?
I think he gives us a little bit of control at times. I know Andy was saying he gets caught on the ball a lot, but I just think he's a bit of a calming influence. He seems to have really good control and he can pick out the simple pass. I don't want to see players in that position always go for the extravagant. I want to see the simple things done well first and foremost. And I think he does that. But I think that one thing that he showed at times last year was going forward, getting himself into those positions just outside the box as well. There was a game, I think Hamer scored in a game and he was outside the box. He'd taken the initial shot and Hamer got the follow-up. Yeah. I want to see him in those positions a bit more. Maybe he might not get the opportunity to do that as much to begin with because I suspect he'll be playing that anchor role. But I do think he gives us a threat going forward at times as well.
And our second signing of the summer was Martin Waghorn, who came through as a free agent. Obviously, he played at Derby last season. Interestingly, they signed him for $5 million. So, you know, he's a decent player. Obviously, didn't have the best goal-scoring record at Derby, but they obviously weren't one of the best teams in the league. So, Mark Robbins' comments, he said Martin brings with him undoubted quality and pedigree, as well as much experience in the Championship. His versatility, too, will add to the attacking options that we have at the club. And he'll no doubt be an important influence in the dressing room too. Andy, I know you have been raving quite a lot about Waghorn on our page over the last few weeks. For me, I think it's just a sign of how far we've come that we've been able to sign someone with, you know, actual Championship pedigree up front.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I'm massively excited for this signing. I think Waggy will come in, and I think he's not just a goal scorer.
Got a nickname for him already?
Oh, absolutely, Waggy. Yeah. I like that, Dean.
Waggers.
Well, yourself.
Definitely
Waggers.
On the Christmas card list already.
I know.
He is.
He's invited for Christmas dinner. Never mind just the Christmas card.
He's not because he ain't followed us yet. And when he follows us, he's on the Christmas list. But yeah, I think... But he's not just a goal scorer, Tom. He assists as well.
Yeah.
He's an all-round forward. And I'm really excited what he can do this season. And I think he can provide a lot of ammunition for our other strikers he plays with. And I think he'll chip in with over 10 this season as well.
Yeah.
Technically great, left-footed, can take free kicks outside.
Takes corners, I noticed yesterday as well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. But yeah. He's much better around the area at free kicks. He can bend them in top bag if needed. Good provider for other people, and I'm quite confident I can see him getting over 10 this season. I think it'd be a fantastic signing for us.
Yeah, did you watch his interview after the Wolves game? It was interesting what he was saying. He was saying that, you know, he's not just here to score goals himself, but he feels like he can obviously create goals and help other players to score, which is what we need at that.
Yeah, the word that I came out of that interview, he takes pride in that. That's what he said. He takes in pride that he scores goals and he takes pride in that he wants to assist people as well. So, yeah, I think we've got a really good player on our hands. And I think it's a massive, massive upgrade of what we had last season.
Yeah, exactly. I think with players like Jokeres and Walker, that's exactly what we need, isn't it? Someone
absolutely.
Up there with them.
Big time. And he's proven as well. You know, he's played at some big, big clubs. Rangers, Derby, Leicester.
Ipswich.
Ipswich. They're big, big clubs. So, I'm quite surprised.
He's at the biggest now, though, hasn't he?
He's in a dream team now.
He's reached the pinnacle now, lads.
Pinnacle, but no, I think we, as long as he stays fit, we've got an exciting signing on our hands.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Singer's Corner belting out a rendition of Moose T's hit "Wag Horny, 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 Horny."
you can start
the chant.
Could be one for the pub, that Dino.
Yeah, definitely. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I look forward to you kicking that one off, Dean.
I think I'm going to get Jesus in block 16 to start it off.
Is he still about, is he?
I'm sure he is. Maybe his hair's even longer now.
Yeah, down to the floor. The next body through the door was Simon Moore. Mark Robbins said, Simon is a very good goalkeeper and is a great professional with a top attitude who will strengthen our options in this area. He brings great experience too with his time at the Premier League and the Championship under his belt. Dave, I know you personally know Simon from the Isle of Wight, because obviously everyone on the Isle of Wight knows each other.
Friends.
What can we expect from him this season, Dave?
Yeah, I think this is a signing that shows us that we're, you know, a Championship club now. He's got a really good pedigree from the Premier League and Championship experience with Sheffield United. He was pivotal at Sheffield United when they were promoted, and he'd done a massive stint there. So I think he does bring bags of experience, but also brings that experience of a higher level of football. And I think that would be really good for, you know, just around the squad, but definitely for Ben Wilson. And we know how Ben keeps, you know, people on their toes. I expect Si to probably be first choice goalkeeper, to be honest.
Yeah, he's got the number one shirt, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, but at the same time, I think, Ben Wilson will keep him on his toes, especially as he featured a lot last season. I think that's the main thing, is just the experience that he brings from perhaps, you know, being around a Sheffield United squad that was, you know, was bags of ability, really. And, you know, he's been around the Championship level for a long time. Obviously was at Brentford as well. So, yeah. He's a great lad. Lovely, lovely lad. And, I think he'll be very good for us.
Yeah, and look forward to speaking to him on the pod at some point, Dave, as well.
Yeah, we'll have to try and get him on. But
I love how you called him Si as well.
Sorry.
Yeah. Si is the first, you know, personal terms. Grizzo with Waggy.
It's not as bad as Waggy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know his nickname, so... I need to
get myself one of these football best friends.
Yeah,
well, it is Moro, actually, but anyway.
Oh, I see. But I think one of the things that obviously a few fans were talking about was whether he was a sort of clear improvement on what we had. Obviously, Morosi had a very, very good season in League One. Excellent season. Obviously, had a few injury troubles last year, and then Wilson had a really good season. So, like, do you feel he's a sort of genuine improvement on what we had, Dave?
It's the pedigree, isn't it, for me? That's what it is for me. It's the pedigree. It doesn't mean that he's a better goalkeeper as such, but I think he's equipped to be a better goalkeeper because he's been around, you know, better coaching staff probably, for a long period of his career. And it's just been around that Premiership. I just think that adds so much experience. It's hard to describe, if that makes sense, but I just think that it's pedigree for me, and I think it's definitely an improvement, and I think it shows that, you know, that because Simon was interested in coming to us, and he mentioned that when he spoke to Mark Robbins, that I think, you know, that does show that although he's a sort of free agent, it shows us that we're starting to be in the hunt for those sort of players. And I think Waghorn's the same, to be honest. I'm not sure I ever saw us getting like a Waghorn through the door. And although it's, you know, twilight in his career, it's another one for me that just speaks that we're now a Championship club. We wouldn't have been attracting these players in, you know, in League One. And we were struggling to do that last season. We had to go and get gems from, you know, like Hamer and stuff. So I think it's the pedigree for me. And I think that is experience and being around a really good outfit of Sheffield United will really help that in the, you know, coming in, into the fold, I think.
Just to make a comment, Morosi never recovered from that injury, did he?
No.
Confidence-wise, no, did he?
I think I think you're right. He did struggle, and that's probably why Ben, you know, jostled him out of the shirt for the remainder of the season. And I think that, you know, I think Robbins probably knew that Morosi was probably going to be, you know, it wasn't what he was going to need this season, and he's had to go out and get something. And again, we're hunting in a certain market, aren't we? And I think it's a really good sign that someone with really good experience, but also someone that wants to prove themselves. You know, Simon spent a lot of time on the bench at Sheffield United.
He did.
But at the same time, you know, when you're training every day with the chap from Man United, Dean.
Henderson.
Yeah. Showing that I don't focus on anything.
And not Dean Atkinson. I'm not a goalie.
No, or Rowan. But No, I'm showing my thing there because Championship football, and I don't spend a lot of time watching the Premiership. But yeah, I think you're training with the likes of that. I think it's you're certainly going to be picking up a few things.
Another familiar face through the door came in the form of Victor Gyökeres. He arrived on undisclosed fee from Brighton, thought to be in the region of around £1 million. Mark Robbins said Victor is a talented striker with good power, pace and movement and great potential. He showed a terrific attitude when he was with us on loan last season and made a real impression. He showed great improvement and development from the start of his time to the end of his loan and grew in confidence. And we hope that he'll continue to show the same improvement and desire now we've made it a permanent member of the squad. So Vic's a player we gave a lot of praise to on our pod towards the end of last season. He did offer a lot and he obviously scored that brilliant winner away at Stoke that pretty much made us safe at the time. How pleased are you with this signing, Andy?
Yeah, very pleased. I said, I think probably the last pod we had, I said that it'd be a good signing if we can get him through the door. And I think what your comment just now, Tom, is that how he's improved gradually from when he came through the door and to the end of the season, got him a contract. Because I think at the start, he was raw. But you could see the improvement in him every time he played. He's technically good. He holds the ball up well, can make chances for himself and can score the odd goal. So, and I think always as a football club, you've always got to look to improve, haven't you? And I think Max and Bakker, he's a better option for me. He's a better player, better technically player. And I think he can score more goals. Plus, he's a great age as well,
yeah.
Isn't he, Tom?
Yeah, he's young, isn't he?
You know, he's got so much potential. And I think that's why Robbins has signed him, because of his potential. He's seen when he came through the door how he played and how much better he got throughout the season he's with us. So I think there's more to come from Vic. And I think that's a great signing.
Yeah, I think if he improves at the rate he did last season, we could have some player on our hands, couldn't we, this season?
Yeah, and if he gets an early goal and gets his confidence up, I think him and Waggy or Waghorn or Waggy can certainly provide a partnership, because Tyler Walker at the moment is looking bereft of confidence, shall we say.
Yeah.
Do you think you look at the players that have gone out in that position and the players that have come in, it's a vast, vast improvement, isn't it? And I think what Vic gives you is that when he works that line and hunts the ball down, he does it with pace and power. And I think, in fairness to the other two lads, they probably didn't do that. You probably had Bakker that was quite pacey, but didn't win the ball. And you had Biamu that probably was a bit slower, but got stronger towards the end. So he sort of possesses both, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dave. And I think he's played for Sweden as well, hasn't he? So, he's even got international experience. So, no, definitely upgrade to what we've got. Felt a little bit sorry for Max. I thought he always did a decent job for us. And also he was, brilliant with the fans. But unfortunately, you can't be sentimental in this game. You have to move on. And if you can improve, you always try to do it, don't you?
Yeah. And our fifth signing of the summer was Bright Enabikari. Obviously came in as a free agent, another familiar face to the Sky Blues fans. Mark Robbins' comments, he said, "We're very pleased to welcome Bright back to Coventry City. Bright is a very talented footballer, has the ability to turn a game and create opportunities and goals out of nothing." So we'd probably have to call this the wild card signing of the summer, Dean. But if the gamble pays off, it could be a good one.
It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Oh, mate, I am super excited about Bright back. You look at last season, most times on this podcast, we asked for two things, didn't we? One was experience, and we've got that now with Waghorn coming in. And the second was that bit of an X factor, that plan B. And that's what Bright's going to bring to this team. We mentioned earlier slightly issues with him off the pitch. That may hamper proceedings. So it is a gamble, but on the pitch, just undeniable talent, such an exciting player, one that's going to get bums off seats. Brilliant skill, control, power, pace. He actually has it all in the locker. And, we saw that in bucket loads during that little stint with us in 2019. And I'm going to put it out there. I think he comes into the Championship immediately as one of the most talented players in the division. It's just about harnessing that incredible potential and that ability. And mate, you know, I've got a little bit of a semi on just thinking about that potential link up between him and O'Hare. Honestly, it's incredible. Intricate plays through the lines, through balls, triangles. Oh, I'm so excited, mate. Robin's tiki-taka is back on the menu, lads.
Yeah. I suppose there's probably no better manager than Robin's as well to kind of, like you say, to harness that talent and to keep him on track. I think that's obviously the key here, isn't it, Dean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all you hear is, you know, good stuff about Mark Robbins from every single player, you know, how the manager has an overriding influence on the team, and that's all you can ask for. And he's, you know, we know Mark from, you know, what he says in the press, and he always speaks from the heart, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to get bright by sort of his heartstrings and just get him playing. I'm sure he can control him, to be honest, and yeah, I think he's the perfect manager to sort of harness him, his potential.
Yeah. Can you see him being chucked sort of straight in, Dean? Or is it going to be a bit of like the Jody Jones situation where he might sort of take a little bit of time and could be more of an impact player off the bench maybe initially?
I think, yeah, that'll be right. I think he's a few weeks behind everybody else as well, fitness-wise. It's going to take him a little bit of time to settle in. And I think you're right there. Yeah, he will sort of come into the fold maybe as a second-half substitute. But I think further down the line, you definitely could see him and O'Hare either playing together or, you know, swapping from game to game, which is good because you look at O'Hare last season, there was a lot of times he was, you know, out on his heels, wasn't he, most of the time?
Yeah, he must have played almost every minute last year.
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, we relied on him too much, but we don't have to rely on him so much next season, I don't think, if we've got Bright playing as well as we know he can.
Mm. And the Sky Blues' most recent signing came in just last week. Ian Mattson came in from Chelsea on loan. Obviously, he had a spell at Charlton last season as well. Mark Robin said he's a very exciting player. He's very good in possession, has great energy going forward too. And he'll fit very well in the way we play at Coventry City. Dave, this looks like a really tidy signing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know massive amounts about him. Like all of us, I've watched the showreel.
Which is why we pretend we know everything about him.
Yeah, but no, you know, I've looked at what he did at Charlton. Obviously did, you know, had a lot of games there. And from what you read from Charlton fans when we signed him, it was like, you know, you've got yourself a player there. He's really good. And it looked, you know, like we said, we saw in the show where he gets forward and he crosses. And, it, you know, I think he's going to be a very similar player to McCallum, but I think he's probably going to be better. He's going to be as athletic. And he looks like he's got a really good final ball. So I think he's going to be really key. And I think that we'll soon find out that he's, you know, he's a very, very good player, hopefully. But it looks to me like a cracking signing because I think it's a really difficult position to fill. There's only so many tight. I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone kind of plays with wing backs now, but it is a difficult position to fill. And with McCallum going out, that was one of the, you know, the big issues that I think we had, and it looks like we've solved that now. So, you know, kudos to Robbins and the team for you know, working through that. And they probably knew it was in the wings, and I'm sure AD had some words of encouragement to make that happen as well. Yeah. But yeah, looks like exactly what we were, you know, it looks like we're replacing like with like, and that's really, really important because of the way that we play.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you said, really encouraging to see all the Charlton fans saying, you know, oh, shame we couldn't sign him for another season and stuff like that. But even saw a few Chelsea fans saying that he ought to have a look in on the Chelsea team. So, you know, when you read stuff like that online, it's, you know, you've probably got a pretty good player on your hands.
Yeah, you're looking at prime player, hopefully. And I'm sure he'll deliver that. But
yeah. I'm surprised at his height. He's quite a short player, isn't he?
Yeah,
not a bad thing for his position. But
I don't know. From a quick review of whoscored.com, I didn't focus too much on his height. I was more looking at his Charlton, you know, his career at Charlton. But I, like you say, I think he's going to be a very, you know, zippy player. When you've grown up playing at Chelsea, right? You know, you've been honed same way that we've spoke about Ben Sheaf. You do not go through the academy at Arsenal without being able to play, you know, quick one-touch football. And Sheaf shows that in so many times where he can spray the ball around and play nice little intricate passes, and he does it quickly. He doesn't dwell on the ball. And I think some of the players that we had in League One, perhaps like your Allens and Shippers, perhaps don't play with that speed. And that's for me when sort of Sheaf stands out. And I think this lad will be the same. I think you know you grow up playing football at that level and in that environment, you're going to be playing very fast one touch football, and that will suit us really, really well.
Yeah. Andy, what positions do you think we're lacking in? Where do we need to bring a few more bodies in?
Centre half and centre midfield, just to pad those areas out. Maybe the left wing back as well, to obviously cover Matteson. But
yeah, we've got Josh Reid. Is he?
Yeah, I don't know too much about Josh. I know that I don't know whether he'll play under 23s this year or he'll look to, you know, push him into the first team. It depends on that, doesn't it? Because obviously Mason's going, isn't he?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so they're the three positions I'll be looking to pad out if I was Robins before the start of the season.
Dean, any thoughts on that? Where we need to add?
Not particularly. I think, as Andy said, those are three key positions for me. I think of us as a slice of Swiss cheese. You know, it's quite full-bodied, but there's still certain holes there, you know, in areas
great analogy, Dean,
that you think we need to fill. So definitely need a centre half, 100%. I think
we're talking about a Melbeck for a minute there. Pour myself a glass.
I'll have one as well. I needed to put up with you three. That's a bit harsh, sorry. Centre half is an absolute must before the start of the season. Hopefully that's the long-term target Robins is after. I know there's, you know, Martin Craney's been involved. I think he'll add to the experience, but sort of long-term, I don't think he is the one I want to be looking at. That Papa Soir as well.
He's an interesting one, isn't he?
He's been out of the game for a long time though, Tom. The championships are very, you know, very different beast to what he has played in before. You know, it's long, it's a hard, tough season.
Calendar, yeah.
I'm not sure he could survive that, to be honest. And you'd probably be reliant on him quite a bit as well with our injury record. I've got question marks over those two. I wouldn't be against getting those on sort of short term deals, maybe till January. And then we reassess in January and see who's available then. But yeah, we have got a big hole at centre half, centre mid and left back.
Yeah. So assuming everyone is fit, Dave, how are you setting up this team?
Well, if what we're seeing is going to happen, Craney and stuff, it's going to look like a testimonial side, isn't it?
yeah, it is, isn't it?
But, you know,
he's ever getting a game soon.
But no, I think they'll start and go with Moore. I think Fads will obviously be in there, and Rosenheim. I don't see what else you can do with what we know at this moment in time. Dabo and Matson, Sheaf, Kelly, if everyone was fully fit, that would be my middle two. And then Hamer and O'Hare sat behind Waggy, I think, feels to me like the strongest side. We could probably put out, really. But I totally agree with what the lads have said. We're looking a bit weak at the back, aren't we? Fads surprised everyone last season, and I think he had a fantastic season. It's just a very, very long fixture list and calendar and you know, cycle of games, and that would be my only worry, plus his disciplinary record. If that comes to the fore, then you're suddenly looking at Rose Hyam and a youngster, I suppose. Are you?
Drysdale, isn't it? That's the next one, and potentially Burrows, you know, or Pask, you know, and you hear Pask might be out the door. So
yeah, and then that would have some big concerns with me with Simon as a relative new to the squad. I'm sure, you know, but they won't have been talking as much as you know what Ben Wilson and Morosi would have been with Rose and Hyam the season before. And I'm not sure they command the line as well as you'd want. They always look a little bit lost without Fads. So yeah, that would be a big concern, I think. But that would be the strongest side, I think, on paper that we could field right now, this moment, without anyone else coming through the door.
Yeah. Would you go similar, Dean? Presumably you try and get Brighton there somewhere.
Yeah, I would, but you know, not to begin with. I think Dave's got it pretty much bang on. I wouldn't be surprised to see a start with four at the back, just because of the lack of centre backs. I don't think he's going to put much trust in Drysdale, unless he has a really good game in the cup, because I suspect he'll play in the cup.
So would that be the two wing backs then, and Fads and Higham?
Fads and Higham, or Rose and Higham.
I can't see Robbins going away from three at the back.
I don't think that's how he wants to play, but I don't think he might have a choice.
Yeah, really. I agree with.
I mean, you'd like to think he'll get a centre half in this week, right?
I think Craney
supposedly is asking for a 2-year deal, and we're pushing back for a 1-year deal. So you'd imagine something will give there, with a few days to go for the season. So yeah, I think we'll have a body in by Sunday.
I do as well. I agree.
Is Craney the answer, Tom? I mean, you saw him play. I've not.
I mean, he's
for a very long time.
I mean, he's solid. He's a solid player, and you know, he's got experience. And in the defence, what are we after? We're after experience and leaders, aren't we? I mean,
that's he was what good we at need. Luton last. Luton wanted to keep him.
So yeah,
it'd be worth it.
You're not going to get a prime.
It's just the legs, isn't it, for me?
Yeah.
In the championship, you come up against some absolute ballers.
We lack pace massively at the back.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Ostergaard was able to cover that last year.
Yeah, he was.
Even Rose doesn't have that much pace.
No.
And I hate to say it, but Jordan Thompson had some pace. Got rid of
that. Dean, let it go, mate.
Let it go, Dino.
But yeah, I'm only joking.
Somewhere in the world, the smallest violin is playing.
But yeah, I am. It's going to be a rough time at the back. I think it's going to be a case for long periods of the season. We're going to need to score one more goal than the opposition.
Yeah.
I know you have to do that anyway in football generally, but you know what I mean? They're probably going to score two. So
Dean,
we
giving
score
everyone just a quick understand of how football works.
So it's Michael 11 Owen versus 11. Yeah, it's going to be a difficult period. Whereas last season, I think we had options at the back. We don't have that now. We didn't have options at the top, and we've got that now. It's kind of the reversal of last year.
But who we are and where we are in the league, I feel a bit more concerned with that. Does that make sense? Like up the top end, it's, you know, you're not scoring goals, and yeah, of course you need to, but we were having players chip in, and Ostergaard and stuff are scoring headers. At the back end, it just, for me, is a bit of a concern. It just worries me that we've not got that much depth, and it's only a few injuries away of fielding a really young back four, aren't we?
I think that's the state of a lot of teams this season, though. The defences are not great in this division this season. They don't seem to be, from my research. It seems to be a lot of emphasis put on attack. So it could be a very, very exciting year with lots of goals and chances created. But we just need to be on the right end of those.
Could be a load of 5-4s, like the Sunderland game.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and talk about the rest of the championship and who we can be looking out for in the rest of the division. Dean, I know you spent some time studying some of the other teams and what they've been up to. We know, obviously, from our side, it's been a tricky summer, a trickier summer than normal for recruitment. Has that been the same for the other clubs as well?
Pretty much, Tom. Yeah, it's been a strange pre-season. Lots of clubs trimming down squads. You can see there's a real lack of cash available. I don't think, you know, many teams expect to be in the position they're in regards to finances. I don't think they really truly believe what was happening until, you know, they've looked at their spreadsheets this offseason, and you know, wages have gone down across the board. People are not spending the amount of money that they have done in usual off season. So it's, you know, we spoke about our troubles, but lots of other teams are in the same predicament.
Probably a good thing in a way, isn't it? A little bit, just to sort of reset things, because it was getting a bit silly, wasn't it? A couple of years ago.
Absolutely. I think it's still going to be this way for the next 3 to 5 years until finances are in a better position. There's a lot of clubs in real deep financial trouble. We'll speak about one in a little bit more detail later on. But it's strange to say, but we're in actually quite a decent position compared to to other clubs. You know, other than Fulham, they spent a ridiculous amount of money on Harry Wilson, obviously £12 million. But I think for the other 23 teams in this division, I don't think they've spent more than £15 million between us, which is crazy to think that in the Championship. Lots of teams have got more outgoings than incomings as well. So if you thought last season was weird, I think this season's about to be a little bit weirder.
Yeah, but nice that it's sort of nice if it's leveled the playing field a little bit. Obviously, like you say, it might benefit us.
We've definitely come in at the perfect time, that's for sure.
Yeah. So who can we expect to be the surprise package then this year, Dean?
I fancy QPR to be the surprise package in the league. I think they've got real talent in all areas of the pitch. They're one of the clubs who I think have recruited well. One of the only teams to spend actually quite a bit of money. They brought in Sam Field and Andre Dozel, who are young players, but they're very talented. They've also managed to extend Stefan Johansson's deal from Fulham to a permanent deal. He was absolutely class towards the end of the season. Add to that, Charlie Austin. You know, he seems really at home at QPR and a goal-scoring threat. Let's be honest about that. And they've still got Ilya Shear, who I potentially thought one of the promoter teams last season would have took a gamble on him. He's a real game changer. Probably for me, one of the top five players in the league last season. So, you know, he's one to look out for. In terms of what can they achieve, I think with the strength of the relegated sides and Bournemouth still in this division, it might be too tough of a task for them to sort of hit the automatics, but they might go close and I think they'll be a nailed-on playoff team.
Mm. Interesting. Obviously, looking towards the potential strugglers, we've heard a lot about Derby. Obviously, they're in real trouble. Can we expect them to be in the bottom three this season?
100%. Yeah, I think betting is pretty much suspended on them being relegated as well, which shows you, I mean, there's not many times the bookies get it wrong, let's be honest. So that shows you the sort of state they're in. If you think our troubles have been bad the last 10 years, I mean, you got to take a look at Derby. It's probably hard to think of another club, maybe other than Wigan and Bolton, really, in recent memory, who have been in this kind of position.
Mm, but they were in the playoffs, only a couple of years ago, weren't they?
Yeah, and they had a really, really talented squad at that point. They're in absolute turmoil. You know, they were lucky to survive last year as well. Let's not forget that. They've lost the vast majority of their team. They've only got 9 contracted first-team players, which is just absolutely bonkers. One of those being Christian Bielek, who is absolutely hampered with injury. He's got a real setback, which is a big loss because he's one of the top performers in this division too. And let's not forget Jason Knight, who was bizarrely taken out by Wayne Rooney in training.
Yeah,
he's going to have to lace up his boots, isn't he?
Yeah, you couldn't make it up. You know?
I can honestly see him coming back. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I could honestly see it.
Keep him out of women's the hotel rooms, isn't it?
Yeah, they didn't even know his name. That was the funniest, funniest part of it.
They haven't even sold any season tickets either, have they, Dean?
Nope.
And they said it. Do they blame it on COVID or something, some weird excuse?
Yeah, it's just an absolute turmoil. You know, they're under a transfer embargo as well, so they're incredibly limited to what they can do. Wow. They can only make 3 or 4 signings. I think they have to either be a loan or free transfer, but there's certain terms and conditions to those signings too.
We'd be right in that position then, because that's all we do anyway.
I think back to, you know, when we faced Bolton a couple of years ago, they're pretty much the kids out. This is going to be the same issue for their squad's going to be made up of plenty of youth players. And one thing that...
Are they a club that have really focused on youth either? I'm not sure they're massively renowned, are they, for bringing youth talent through?
No, Louis Sibley is probably the shining light in that team, and he was brought through the youth team. And what a turnout for the books Tom Lawrence is having. He's now club captain. A couple of years ago, they're trying to get rid of him after that crash. You know, what a change for him. And I think actually one of the biggest things for Derby, don't want to turn this into a Derby podcast, but they've got a suspended 3-point deduction. as well, sort of hanging over them with regards to not playing player wages. So if that happens again, then they're going to get the 3 points. Plus, you'd imagine further sanctions would also follow that. So, look, we don't like to see anybody in that position. Of course, you know, we've been in our predicaments in the past.
Yeah,
and we've had our issues. But you know, for me, this pretty much takes the relegation scrap down to two places, which is a good thing for our club.
It strikes me that, you know, years of overspending and all the crazy stuff that's been going on, it's now like, you know, at least one team a season are almost guaranteed to be relegated. It was obviously Sheffield Wednesday last year, Derby this year. There's probably going to be one next year. And I suppose we're going to see that for the next few years now, the effects of all that.
Yeah.
Sort of nonsense, they all seem to be coming from what, you know, from directors and owners, didn't they, as well? Which is, you have to say, you know, be careful what you wish for, don't you? Because we're building from the outside to watch in, a quite an interesting model. Not one that a lot of clubs have followed, and certainly looks like it's coming back to bite them on the bum a little bit. Sorry, Dean.
No, you're absolutely right. I think Tom hit the nail on the head there. This is Derby not going to be the first club in this predicament. There's going to be potentially two or three clubs this season that are going to be hitting real financial trouble, especially when it comes to January. And, you know, if the likes, I'm going to say the likes of Huddersfield and Preston, for example, and Reading
are in real trouble,
transfer embargo as well. You know, net losses of nearly £100 million over two seasons. How'd you get in that situation? Absolutely ridiculous. So those three teams, everybody, I've looked at predictions from different podcasts and betting companies, etc. They've got those three teams I've just mentioned in and amongst the relegation zone. So come to January, if they're in and amongst that zone, you generally want to strengthen to try and get yourself out of it. They're not going to be in a position to do that. And it's going to be a long line of teams that are going to be in this position.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. And looking at ourselves again, obviously the primary objective has to be to survive again this season. You've mentioned those three there, but what other sides do you think we can definitely finish above this season, Dean?
I think the three promoted sides, you know, we know how difficult it is to stay in this division. We scrapped tooth and nail last season to do that. So Peterborough, Hull and Blackpool, for me, I think will be in and amongst the relegation zone. You look at their recruitment. Okay, they've recruited pretty well, but it's more kind of League One recruitment rather than Championship. You know, you need to add quality to those squads that you've got. I don't think they've done that too much. Peterborough's case, they've signed some decent players. I think George Grant is one that we probably should have looked at ourselves.
Yeah.
But you know, I would suggest that those incomings don't really have the Championship experience or quality to keep them clear of relegation.
Mario for Peterborough.
Yeah, he's got experience, obviously. But you know, you need more than just the one player in this division. I think you need two or three who've you know, sort of got a stranglehold on the division to steer you clear of trouble. I think a lot of tipped Hull to do well, but I just can't see that personally. I think they're, you know, they've got attacking threat. Of course, they have in, you know, George Honeyman's a really good player. But I think defensively, all three of these teams defensively is going to be their downfall.
40 to 1, aren't they, of the bookies? So the bookies obviously don't share those sentiments that perhaps, you know, the internet's saying.
Yeah, I just don't see where they're getting Hull to do well from, if I'm honest.
Mm.
I've mentioned a couple of them, Preston and Huddersfield. I think they're going to be in the mix too. Preston have been punching well above their weight for a few years now. I think they're kind of living off past glories of what seemed to be a consistent playoff chase. I think in midfield they've got good options, but again, either end of the pitch, I don't think they've got much. Kind of still relying on Scott Sinclair's creativity. His output has kind of dropped over the years too. And in Huddersfield's case, I mean, they were lucky again, like Derby, to sort of get away with relegation last year. They went on some barren runs at times. You know, I think they were probably the second or third most goals conceded to. Incomings bang average, you know, Jordan Rhodes, perhaps the most profile, and Matty Pearson to try and sort of solidify that back line. But no real improvement on both those teams on last year.
Obviously, looking towards the top of the league, who would you expect to be shooting for promotion. You obviously mentioned Fulham. You'd be looking at West Brom as well, or be strong. You've also got Sheffield United. Who are the sort of the teams that you'd expect to be looking to get out of the division the other way?
Yeah, I think those are the three standouts for me, mainly due to the financial power that those three teams have got. I mean, you look at the squads, they're built for, you know, promotion challenges from Championship and kind of low-end Premier League squads. So I'd imagine those three to be challenging for honours. Bournemouth as well.
Yeah,
they've generally kept the most of their squad too. They've got obviously still some really, really talented players. I think they've, when you come down for the Premier League, you've generally got two or three seasons to get yourself back up. So the financial worries are not there. So I think it's going to be, you know, do or die for them this year, Bournemouth. So I expect them to go all out. And they've got Scott Parker in there in charge now. He knows what it took to get Fulham out of this division a couple of years ago. So I figure it was a good signing for them. So I'd expect them to be challenging. And I'm going to chuck in Cardiff City as well. I think signing James Collins was a real coup for them. He knows how to score goals in this division. They've got some real creativity as well. You know, lots of Championship experience as well in Sean Morrison and Kiefer Moore played well last year as well. So I expect them to do well this season. Obviously, they brought in Royal Jars as well, who we know.
Interesting one, that,
pretty
yeah.
well. So I think Cardiff are kind of a dark horse for me.
Interesting stuff. Andy, any concerns for you about the Sky Blues staying up this season?
No, none at all, Tom. To answer your question, I think we've got more than enough going forward to stay in this division. I think we're more experienced as well. Now, a lot of the players have played a season in the Championship because a lot of people were new to it last season. So, no, I have no problem. I think we'll finish. I'm not going to give you my prediction yet because that's for later. But no, I think we'll be fine.
And Dave, if everything was to click and Bright's firing on all cylinders, could we look a little bit higher, or are you just happy to sort of stay in the division again?
Possibly look a little bit higher. I wouldn't be aiming massively much higher. I think we probably overachieved a little bit last season. But then at the same time, I think we threw a lot of games away and actually could have been much higher, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. But yeah, so I think there's a potential for us to. It just sounds silly, but it just depends how the season plays out. I think, you know, we hit form at the end of the season last year, and we were just, you know, on this roll that people just couldn't knock us out of our stride. And if we can get on a few of those, then definitely, yeah.
Let's move on and talk about our quick fire questions. So yeah, I'm going to fire a few of these at you lads. I've got about 10 of these. You don't need to give an explanation, just your answer. We'll start with the Sky Blues top goal scorer. Andy?
Waggy.
Dave?
Waggy.
Dean?
Wag Dog Millionaire.
I was going to say, you have to come up with a different nickname for him for each one, but no. Best signing, Andy?
Waggy.
Dave?
Waggy.
Dean?
Right.
And so you can't say Waggy for every answer, lads. signing that will let us down, Andy?
Sy Moore.
Ooh, Dave?
Tough one, isn't it? Could be Bright with his...
Could be Bright for best signing and signing will let us down, couldn't it?
For me, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Dean. For me, it could be Bright if it reoccurs of what happened off the pitch. But
yeah. Dean?
Don't think he'll let us down, but I'm going to go for Gyökeres.
Oh, interesting one. Interesting one. Breakthrough player, Andy?
Eccles when he comes back fit.
Dave?
I think this Mateson could, you know, not for us, but I think this Mateson could show that he's a real baller. Breakthrough player from the under-23s. I think Burrow, oh, well, you know, senior, but Burrows will probably be thrown in a bit more this season, I think, especially in some of the cup games.
Dean?
Jordan Thompson. Oh, no, sorry. I'm going to go to Eccles.
After this pod, Dean, you can't mention him ever again.
Okay, mate.
We'll start handing out fines.
Yeah, can we do fines for Waggy as well, though?
No.
League position at the end of the season, Andy?
12th.
Ooh, Dave?
15th.
Dean? 17th. Nice. Average attendance, Andy?
14K.
Dave?
More, about 15 and a half.
Dean?
17.
Nice. Away day you're most looking forward to, Andy?
Bournemouth.
Dave?
Fulham.
Dean?
Fulham or Peterborough.
Ooh. Home game you're most looking forward to, Andy?
First game of the season against Forest.
Dave?
Jinx, ditto. Dean. Forest at home.
Sheffield United, because I think we've got some weird rivalry with them now.
Yeah. Hopefully there won't be fans on the pitch this time.
No.
And yeah, look, what have I written here? And then looking more broadly at the Championship.
Yeah.
Don't know what I meant by that.
Promoted and relegated.
Yeah, who's going up, who's going down.
Yeah. So three to go up. Andy?
West Brom, Fulham. I was going to say Sheffield United, but I think I'm going to go with Dino's prediction of QPR.
Interesting. Dave?
I think Fulham, West Brom, Bournemouth.
Dean?
West Brom, Fulham, QPR.
And three to go down, Andy?
Derby, Hull, Blackpool.
Dave?
Yeah, Blackpool, Derby. I'm going to say Luton.
Interesting.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I had a fancy for Luton as well.
Dean?
Derby, Huddersfield, Blackpool is the three.
Nice.
What about yours, Tom?
What, to go down?
Yeah, well, all of them. So, what, top goal scorer?
Right. I haven't even thought about this. Right, top goal scorer, Waggy.
Go on. Best signing?
Bright.
Let us down?
Bright.
Breakthrough player? Not Jordan Thompson.
Burrows.
League position?
14th.
Average attendance?
18K.
Away day you're most looking forward to? Obviously, Fulham is the captain of our barge.
I'm not if Fulham, but yeah.
We have to find a new captain.
I'll go with, what am I looking for? Middlesbrough.
Okay. Home game?
Forest on Sunday.
Free to get promoted?
Fulham, West Brom, Bournemouth.
And free to go down?
Derby, Blackpool, and Peterborough.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Now we're going to move on and talk about the first six fixtures for the Sky Blues. We obviously take on Nottingham Forest on Sunday, and then we play Barnsley, Blackpool, Reading, QPR, and Middlesbrough in the first six games of the season. Not the worst run of fixtures to start the season, Dave.
No, exactly. I think with Forest, we do 0-1, and it's going to be such an occasion. I think that hopefully it will be, all of the occasion games, if you like, have always gone in our favour. You think back to the last game at Highfield Road, you think back to the first game at the Rico, feels a little bit like that, and I think we can get all 3 points there. I'm not sure Barnsley are going to be as good as they were last season. I think they punched above their weight, and I think we could probably get something there. Blackpool difficult on a Tuesday night, but yeah, Reading, QPR tough, but definitely it's not the worst run. I think we can get some points.
Yeah, I think what's going to be really important is to establish our home form. Obviously, we did really well at St Andrews last year, Andy. Where do you see those sort of vital first home wins coming?
I think we'll beat Forest. Like Dave said, I think when it is a big occasion, we always turn up, don't we? The first game back at the Rico against Gillingham, we won. The first ever game at the Rico, we won. So I think when there's a big occasion, we always rise to the party. I think we'll beat Forest. I don't think they're particularly great. Like last season, how they got 6 points out of us was just absolute daylight robbery. So, but getting back to your original point, I think it's massively important that we can establish good home form, because our away form was terrible last season. It wasn't very good at all. So it's important that we get off to a win against Forest and really establish and get that home form going straight away.
Yeah, definitely. Dean, you'd have to say that looking at those games, they all look like ones where we could pick up points, really.
Absolutely. Other than maybe QPR and Middlesbrough, I think they will be the tougher games of the six. But the other four, I can't see why, no reason why we, to be honest, can't even pick up 12 out of those. I'm going to be very optimistic. But yeah, you know, we should be, you know, we're established, we've established ourselves back in the championship now. We should be looking at teams and going, yeah, we can beat them. I think we've got the assets to do it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to briefly look into the game on Sunday in a little bit more detail. Obviously, Forest are a bit of a team in transition. They obviously appointed a new CEO in the summer and they've also got a new head of recruitment. They obviously haven't made as many signings as they usually do, but what can we expect from them on the pitch, Dean?
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of been a fairly cautious approach from Forest this season. Only a couple of incomings in Horvath and Cafu. It's not the Cafu, I have to mention that. But like you say, they're a bit of a team in transition. They've thinned down their squad. I think they're going to be reliant on quite a lot of young players this season. The likes of Alex Mighton, he sticks out for me as being a really impressive youngster on the left side of midfield. I think he'll give Dabo a bit of a tough game on Sunday. But yeah, like most teams, they've really thinned out their squad. So, you know, a lot of people have expected Forest to sort of push for the playoffs this season. I have to say, I disagree. I don't think they've got the quality to do that. They're really reliant on the likes of Lewis Graben and Harry Arter as well in this team. So, and they're sort of coming towards the twilight of their careers. So, I don't think they'll be pushing towards the promotion players, and we owe them one. Like the guys have said, yeah. Two absolute awful results for us last season. Daylight robbery in both those games. So, let's just go out and give them a slap.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I'll grab some predictions, Dave.
I think I can't see anything but a win. I'm going to go 2-0.
Andy?
2-1, Tom.
Dean?
3-1.
Waggy
hat trick.
definitely take a win on the opening day. Lads, that's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks very much for your thoughts and contributions. I just want to quickly shout out the COV Tweet League, which will once again be running this season. Anyone can enter and it's completely free to take part. Just search at COV Tweet League on Twitter for all of the details. And also, all of you who have already entered, just make sure you get your predictions in before Sunday's game. Thanks as usual to our sponsors, Shortland Horn, and do make sure you give them a follow across their socials. And as always, you can get involved in the conversation. Just make sure you use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.